Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be studying Parshas Noach. To me, it feels eerie, and I feel incredibly shaken to be learning and speaking about Parshas Noach, a parsha of destruction and rebirth during this horrifically difficult and painful time. After Simchas Torah, Tafshin Pei Dalet. Parshas Noach begins in Perek Vav, chapter 6, with a description of Noach as a tzaddik, a righteous man, so different from his depraved and corrupt generation, and the painful words of Hashem that the world will be destroyed, but that Noach and his family will be saved together with the animals in an ark. The specifics of the ark are dictated to Noach by Hashem down to its very measurements of 300 cubits long, 50 wide, and 30 high. Noach was told to bring in one male and female of every creature. Later, we will be told that Noach was also told to bring in seven pairs of all kosher animals. Chapter 7, Perek Zion, begins 120 years later, after Noach, now 600 years old, had finally completed the ark, the Teva. Chazal say that during that time, Noach had been trying to get everyone else to do teshuvah, to repent and change their ways, but no one did. And the chapter begins with Hashem telling him now that the mabul, the flood, will actually start in seven more days. Noach, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafes, his wife, his sons' wives, all enter the teva, the animals too, and the rain starts the 17th day of the seventh month. For 40 days and 40 nights, and then another 150 days before the water began to diminish. Everything on the earth, every man, woman, child, every living thing perished. In chapter 8, Noach opens the teva and tests the situation, first by sending out the raven and then the dove. The first time the dove could not find any place to rest. 7 days later, it returned with an olive branch, and finally the third time, the dove did not return. Noach understood that the earth was finally inhabitable again. Hashem told Noach now that he could leave the Teva, and on the 27th day of the second month, Noach did. The very first deed that Noach did upon leaving the Teva was to bring karbanos from every kosher animal he had brought. In response to this karban, Hashem promises to never again destroy the world. Chapter 9 speaks about the actual bris, the symbol of the rainbow in the sky that would signify this promise. It also speaks of the humiliation of Noach and the different reactions of his children, as well as Noach's responses to them. Chapter 10, Perek Yud, lists the nations and families that would stem from these three new world founders, the branches of Shem, Ham, and Yafes. Chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph, tells the story of the Tower of Babel, the dispersion of humanity, and concludes with the 10 generations leading from Noach through Shem to Avraham Avinu. And just the first few details about the life of Avraham Avinu, who of course will be the true focus of Sefer Bereishis. And now to the rainbow. In Perek Ches, chapter 8, the Pasuk writes, in verse 21, Vayarach Hashem es reach hanichoach, Vayomer Hashem el libo lo osif lekalel od es haadama ba'avor haadam. Hashem smelled the pleasing fragrance, and Hashem said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man. Ki yetzer lev haadam ra min urav, for the inclination of man's heart is evil from the time of his youth. V'lo osif od lahakosis kol chai kasher asisi, I will never again smite every living thing as I have done. This is followed by chapter 9, Perek Tes, where Hashem says to Noach in verse 13, Es kashti nastati ba'anan v'haysa la'os bris b'ni uvein ha'aretz, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between myself and the earth, and goes on to promise that this sign will be remembered and will cause Hashem to never destroy the earth again. So something happens in these psukim, something huge and something permanent, an eternal promise from Hashem that he would never destroy the world again. Rev Yitzchak Arama, the writer of the Sefer, the Akedah, who lived in the 1400s in Spain, asks many questions about this promise. What is the meaning of this promise, this bris? The difficulty in it is a circular one. If at some point in the future the world would once again deserve destruction, then why wouldn't they be destroyed? And if it would be possible to exercise mercy to ignore their sins next time, then why was there a flood in the first place? Why didn't Hashem show mercy now? And what is the significance of it being a rainbow, the Akeda asks. Isn't a rainbow a natural phenomenon? It goes further than that, because as we will see from this week's Haftorah, this treaty of survival becomes a symbol upon which a different promise rests. The promise of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. Eventually, in Yeshaya, we will be told that after sin, and after Galus, exile, and after Teshuvah, there would be an ultimate reconciliation with Hashem, total forgiveness and restoration of our relationship with Hashem. Because as Yeshaya says, although the mountains and rocks may crumble, our relationship with Hashem will be eternal. And it says there in Yeshaya, Ki me noach zos li, for this to me is like the waters of Noach. Asher nishbati me avor me noach od al haaretz, as I swore that the waters of Noach nevermore would flood the earth, so I swear that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you. In other words, just as permanent as the promise of the rainbow, so too is the promise that Hashem will no longer be angry with us in the future. But again, we are left with confusing and troubling possibilities. Would we deserve punishment? Would Hashem choose to ignore our sins in the future? So why doesn't He do that now? Heaven knows we need mercy now. An even more troubling question is, what was the point of it all? Going back to the devastation of the flood, if Hashem knew at the beginning of creation that He would ultimately need to destroy this beautiful world He had fashioned only 10 generations later, what purpose did those first 10 generations of the world serve if it was to end in calamity and destruction? The Akeda actually finds this parallel question at the end of Nitzavim, asked this time by the Jews of the future facing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What was the purpose of this whole experiment of allowing us to come to Eretz Yisrael and build a Beis HaMikdash if it was going to be destroyed? We built the Beis HaMikdash with so much idealism and optimism that it would last, that we would last, that we would make it. But we believe that Hashem knows the future, that He knew it would fail, that we would fail. So why did He put us through this excruciating process that would end in disaster? What was the point? So to summarize our questions, what is the meaning of the promise of the rainbow? Will the world deserve destruction or not? What is the meaning of the promise of Yeshaya somehow connected to that rainbow? Will we deserve anger or not? And if Hashem knew about all the failures we as humanity and we as His treasured nation would ultimately experience, why did He put us through this tumultuous journey of hope and heartbreak in the first place? Heavy questions from the Akeda indeed. In order to address this, I'd like to reference a medrash on the second last pasuk of Eicha that I heard explained by Rabbi David Beshevkin. We say, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, chadesh yameinu kikedem. Return us, Hashem, to You, and we will return. Renew our days like kedem, of old. What are we asking for in these psukim? What is it we'd like to return to? When were the good old days? The Medrash says that the answer is in the word kedem, a reference to Gan Eden, that is identified and described by the word Kedem. Interestingly, there are two verses that describe Gan Eden as Kedem, one when talking about the planting of the garden in the first place, and the second after Adam sins, when he is banished from the garden, forced to live to the east of the garden. Vayigareshes ha'adam vayashkein mikedem leGan Eden. Shockingly, the Medrash cites not the first hopeful pasuk describing the utopia of Gan Eden, but the second one, after the tragic fall and failure of Eitz HaDaas. And this points to a powerful message. In this almost final verse of Eicha, when we ask Hashem, Hashiveinu, bring us back, what is it we are asking for? Teshuvah is not a reversal or erasure of our history. We do not rewrite our own history. Teshuvah rather takes us to a new place, to the new Mikedem. Adam changed after his teshuvah. We are asking Hashem, Hashiveinu Elecha, take us to that beautiful post-teshuvah, post-lesson learned Mikedem. We want to not erase our past, but learn from it. Our experiences teach us and change us, and we will thus earn true return. How does this relate to the rainbow? Now, in the aftermath of this terrible destruction, when Noah exits the Teva to face the devastation that was wrought by the corruption of mankind, Hashem gives Noah the greatest message of hope. When Hashem tells Noah that the world will never be destroyed again, Hashem is not suspending free will, nor is he promising to turn a blind eye to future sins of the magnitude of the generation of the flood. What Hashem is doing is explaining to Noah what the experience of the Mabul has done to mankind, that the human race is a changed people because of it, that we are no longer people capable of that level of corruption and violence, that it will make an indelible imprint on the nature of humanity forever after. The rainbow, thus, isn't a sign of an artificial construct to force mankind to follow God's will. Rather, it is a symbol of the great change that has occurred in the psyche of humanity. Of course, the appearance of the rainbow is a natural phenomenon. So too is the promise that it symbolizes, that Hashem will never destroy the world. It is truly a sign of the people we have become. Hashem will never destroy us because the lessons we have learned from Parshas Noach are so powerful that our nature won't allow us to make the same mistakes of the Dor HaMabul. This actually helps us redefine those 10 generations as well, not as a pointless experiment that ultimately failed, but part of the painful but ultimately constructive process of the creation of man. And what is true for humanity as a whole regarding the events of Parshas Noach is true for us, Klal Yisrael, regarding our history. In fact, the Akedah explains that just as in Tehillim, a tzaddik is compared to the blossoming of a palm tree, tzaddik katamar yifrach. The Gemara says, a palm tree takes 70 years to blossom. So too, the making of a tzaddik is not a quick fix. It takes years and decades. It takes trials and tribulations, successes, failures, and lessons. And the formation of the nation of God takes years and centuries, even millennia. Hashem knew that the Jewish people weren't perfect, that we would sin, that there would be Chorban and destruction. But he also knew that living through these events and the pain that comes from sin would bring us to a new understanding and uplift us in a way that would be impossible without those experiences. We would arrive at a new place as a new people, a more mature, godly people who have been schooled by our experiences, through our history, through our mistakes and painful lessons learned, to a new Mikedem. And thus Hashem promises us, we will reach a place where there will be no more sin and no more anger. And our improved relationship with Hashem will be as natural and beautiful as the rainbow appearing in the sky to signify the end of a dark storm. This, then, is the lesson of Parshas Noach. No experience leaves us unchanged. And even what seems like our lowest points or our most painful moments could be conduits for our greatest growth. The drastic event of Parshas Noach was a catalyst for a greater mankind. And as we learn from Yeshaya, the same is true for the Jewish nation. As Hashem tells Klal Yisrael at the end of Nitzavim, he knew that their future in Eretz Yisrael was going to be a troubled one with many failures. And yet Hashem still sent us to Eretz Yisrael, because he also knew that our lowest moments and our most painful times can be opportunities for growth and transformation. And at the end of the day, after the difficult times and after our teshuva, we will stand closer to Hashem, secure in the knowledge that our embattled history will pave the way for a beautiful, unprecedented future. May we indeed reach that moment, b'mehira b'yameinu, so speedily in our days. Thank you for learning together.